We all have opportunities to express who and what we are every moment of our life. And, unfortunately, that's what we express, who and what we are. And the who and what we are is not a compliment to us. It's the result of the things that have happened in our life, the irritations we have had, the happiness we've had, and all of the various other things that have made up our life. And perhaps now is a good time for us to consider, what do we want to have? How do we want to operate our life? Do we want to operate our life as an experience that follows from what has happened to us, or do we want to operate it from the point of view that we now are going to take charge? So, if we say we're going to take charge, then what does that mean? What does it mean to take charge of our life and to operate our life from a beneficial point of view? Well, one of the first things that goes when we operate from a beneficial point of view is something that every single person on the face of the earth has experienced from time to time and experiences maybe 90% of the time. 90% of the time. Can you imagine 90% of the time? Well, what are you talking about, Herb? You make it sound interesting, but what are you saying? Feeling sorry for yourself. 90% of the time, all of humanity feels sorry for itself. They act chagrin. They act surprised when things happen. I didn't know that was going to happen. They feel that they can go out and say, get in here, you little rascal, or else I'm going to spank you. And then they wonder why obedience comes with fear and with anger. And many other things of that similar nature. We do these things in our life, and then we wonder why results happen just the way they do. Well, as a human being, we are very much working with the law of cause and effect. We're working with the concept that for every cause we put in motion, we get an effect. So, if you want to be a spiritual being, you say, I am a spiritual being, I am a spiritual being, but you got to do something. No, you don't got to do nothing. All you have to do, if you do anything, is be consistent in saying, I'm a spiritual being, and stay with that concept. But that can't work, because it isn't the way it works. It is the only way it works. Now, you want to build a house? The first thing you do is you think, what kind of a house shall I build? And then you draw a plan. And in the plan, you take into consideration yourself and other people who live in the house. So, you go to your wife or husband and you say, well, sweetheart, what do you think? And they look at the plan. You didn't make any room for the laundry. Where are we going to have the washing machine? Oh, how about that? I have to add a little room here. And now, what about when the kids come in from out playing in the back? There should be a little area there where they can stamp their feet before they come walking into the house, get the snow off of their feet or get the dirt off of their shoes and stuff. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Now, we're going to have a basement. Well, how are you going to get in the basement? You don't have any basement door. You don't have any basement door from inside the house going down. And you don't have any basement door from the outside going in. Now, we want to have a door, two doors, three doors maybe, to get into the basement. Ooh, yeah, yeah. And so on through the house. Now, if the house had just been built according to that first plan, which was not a plan that took into consideration all the rest of the people involved, it would not have been a proper house. It would not have been an adequate house. It would have been a house where you have a crawl space underneath it instead of a basement. It'd be a house where there'd be missing doors, you know, to get into certain areas. Now, I'm sharing with you the idea that you follow your first thought. You live with your first thought. Why would you forget to put the doors in the basement? You would forget to put the doors in the basement because of one simple word. You did not think basement. You didn't even consider basement. Well, oh yes, I did. See, here's the floor, and here's the walls, and here's the windows, and here's this and that. Oh, you did you? Huh? Well, how do we get into the basement? Through the window? Or do we levitate in there? How do we do it? Well, that's true. I did forget that. Well, why did you forget that? Well, because I very seldom use the basement. The basement's not something often on my mind. But you see, first, you design a house in your mind or on paper, and then you take it to the consideration of other people who are going to live in that house, and then everyone has some input that they put into it. And then you finally take it to the architect, and the architect says, what is this gobbledygook? You know? He said, now, this is how we have to do it, because we can't be having circles here and circles there and things here like that, because that would make your house maybe four or five times more expensive than it is now. Ooh, I'll have to tell the family. So you go back and share it with the family, and you say, well, what difference does it make? Instead of having the house cost $400,000, it costs $1,000,004, you know. Ooh, quite a house. But now you know, we are putting all this money in for just these circular things and circular points of building, and that way, if we didn't put that in, if we just put square corners in and so forth, we could have a pool table in the family room, we could have a wall-to-wall television on one wall, we could have a lot of other things. Instead of spending the money on that sort of thing, we spend it on something that we would enjoy. And they say, well, we would enjoy looking at it too. We'd like to have all the circles and have the wall-to-wall television and the pool table and so forth. But we don't have money for that. You will, the family says, you will. When it comes time to pay for it, it'll be there. It always is. It always is that we, whatever we choose to have, whatever we decide to have for ourselves, the money is there. So, we look at these things and we say, now, what has that got to do with our first thought? What does that have to do with listening within? What does that have to do with being God and being the creator of our world and so forth? Well, many things it has to do. One of the main things is God limited? The answer is no. Does God say that God is not going to build something because it's too expensive? No. Does God say that anything is impossible? No. So why are we, as people, saying things that are difficult or impossible because logically they seem that way? Well, that's because we put those causes in motion. We are saying the law of cause and effect only works over here. It doesn't work over here. The law of cause and effect works here on creating the house and thinking the house, designing the house, but it doesn't work on getting the money for the house. Well, it certainly does. Now, when you say you have money, why is it you say, I want $3 million for the house, that's what it's going to cost? And you don't even take into consideration having servants. That big a house, you'd have to have servants. You have servants, swimming pool, maintenance, upkeep, the yard, the gardener, all these other things, and might as well a chauffeur or two in there. So, what do you say? $3 million isn't going to handle it. You'd have to have more. So, how much more? You don't know. And then if you get a lot more, then you want more things added on to it. You want a tennis court and volleyball court and handball court and so forth for this wonderful play place. And so, where's the money coming from? So then you decide, I should reword my affirmation. And you reword your affirmation to say, I am independently wealthy. So, being independently wealthy, the number sign doesn't even come up. The dollar sign doesn't even come up. You understand? There is no need to think dollars when you're independently wealthy. You just do those things you want to do when you want to do them and have a good time. You see, in our thinking, we oftentimes think too small. We oftentimes think in a way that limits us, limits everybody else, limits everything we're doing. Do we want to do that? Or do we want to think unlimited? Do we want to think that all is in divine order, and that whatever we dream about, whatever we want in our consciousness, we can have it? Would you like that? Would you like that kind of life? It would seem like it'd be a good one. How do we bring that about in our world? How do we manage that in our life and affairs? Well, we manage that by thinking our first thought. How do you think your first thought? begin to act on ideas that are outrageous. You see, your first thought usually is outrageous. Like, as I explained to you the other day with Stefan, I said, Stefan, do you believe that I'm working with you? Oh, yes, you're working with me very much. And I said, do you trust me? Of course. So he's driving the car down the freeway over in Zurich, and I put my hands over his eyes. And he can't see. Hey, I can't see. I said, just keep steering straight ahead. But I can't see. I said, believe. And so he relaxed. If he's going to crash, he'll crash. He relaxed. And so when he relaxed, then I took my hand away, and he was just amazed. He didn't realize that he could be comfortable under that circumstance. It was tough. But when he learned to follow what I told him to follow, he opened up some more inner doors within him. Now, I've done that with all of you in varying degrees at other times. And every time, most of you say, oh, I can't see. Most of you say, it won't work. Most of you say, why are you butting into my life? Why are you asking these questions? And instead of just saying, ah, so, I see what you're talking about now. I understand where you're going, and I understand what you mean. And that's tough. People don't follow that very quickly because they want it to be logical. They want it to be reasonable. They want it to be something that they can handle. And they can. They can. But now it's for you. Now it's for you. How do you pull out that first thought and follow it and listen to it and enjoy it? And when the first thought is not perfect, do you let another thought come in? Or do you go back to that first thought and figure out why it's not perfect and realize that perhaps it is perfect? And you just did not see it because you did not want to go that direction. I have a lot of people in my world who don't necessarily want to go the direction I suggest to them. And so then they try all the other directions. And then, when I'm not looking, when I'm not aware of it, as far as they're concerned, they go and do the very thing that we told them to do in the first place. You see, we have a rebellion within us that keeps us from listening to the first thought. We have a rebellion within us that keeps us from enjoying the wonderment of doing things the first time and doing it perfect. We have that. But we don't follow it. For what reason? And the reason is that the other way seems more reasonable. It seems more understandable. And the way of the first thought doesn't seem understandable. That gives us a problem. But we don't have to have that problem. We can just believe and go on it. We know the story of Joan of Arc, and we know that God spoke to her and said, lead the French troops against the enemy, and you will succeed in battle. And so Joan of Arc went to the king and said, God spoke to me and said, if I lead the French army in battle, it'll win. And the king says, what the heck, we're losing. Everything is going to pot. Might as well go for it, you know. And so she went in there and led them and won all the battles. Now, she listened to her first thought. She followed her first thought. And then the clergy came to her and said, you can't receive images from God or knowledge from God. That just doesn't work that way. Only the priests or the elders can do that. And she says, no, I said it is. Well, we can't say that that wasn't true. I can't say it wasn't true because it was true. And so they burned her at the cross, at the stake, remember? And that wasn't very nice, was it? But she stood up for principle. Now, she could have had it like that. Just say, you're right. God didn't speak to me. I just made it up in my mind. And they wouldn't have killed her. But could she have lived with herself? Denying the truth? Can anyone live with themselves denying the truth? I read about cases in court that especially with this recent Enron case and so forth, that they got one of the under treasurers or something and put him in prison. And they told him that if he would rat on some of the other people in the corporation, that they'd reduce his sentence instead of 5 years down to, one or none, And he wouldn't, maybe because nobody else did anything wrong, or he didn't. Now, it was his principle that he will take the blame for what he did, but he will not say that they did these things because that's not his business. That's not his privilege to say those things. And he would not do that. Now, whether it was right or wrong, morally or whatever, that's not the question. But he stood up for principle. And do you know? I would say it was in the Business Week magazine. I would say the people who read that in the Business Week magazine were just like reading about President Clinton and his sexual affair while he was in office. They forgive him. They forgive him because he stood up for principle. Clinton says, I don't know anything about them. This guy said, hey, you say that I did that? There's nothing I can do to prove I can't? I should talk about other people? No way, And you see, when you live with principle, when you're standing up for principle, it means some tough things sometimes, some very tough things. But as long as you stay with it, it'll work out in the end for yourself. But the main thing that it works out is you feel good inside yourself for having told only the truth. So, say your first thought, think your first thought, live your first thought, get that going, and watch the wonderment happen in your life as you live by your first thought. Have a wonderful day, and do beautiful things, and know that I love you very much.